a small weedy opening, the cheering sight of a transparent body of water burst upon our view. It was Itasca Lake, the source of the Mississippi. He renamed it from Omash Coos to Itasca, using two Latin words, veritas and caput, which means truth or true, and head or source. Kind of shortened them up, created the word Itasca, wrote a book, and sent it to Europe. And they declared his findings true. But our story on the source doesn't end, because that was only 300 years of confusion. In 1883, another guy came and corrected Schoolcraft, because he was wrong. It's actually supposed to be Elk Lake, which he called Glacier Lake. This is what he wrote in 1881, actually. Every paddle stroke seemed to increase the ardor with which we were carried forward. The desire to see the actual source of a river so celebrated as the Mississippi, whose mouth had been reached nearly two centuries before, was doubtless the impelling motive. Does that not sound familiar? What had long sought at last appeared suddenly. On pulling and pushing our way through a network of rushes similar to the ones encountered on leaving Itasca, the cheering sight of a transparent body of water pressed upon our view. It was a beautiful lake, the source of the Father of Waters. It was Glacier Lake, and he was a plagiarist. He took Schoolcraft's journal and completely plagiarized it. And not only that, when he headed down the river, he lost his instrument for elevation readings in the exact same place that Schoolcraft lost his. That's why the Minnesota Historical Society commissioned Jacob Brouwer, going full circle. Why Brouwer came here? Because a long history of people exploring this land, claiming this land, using this land. If we would have just asked the Indian community in the first place, they're the ones who had known about it for centuries, but we just didn't trust them. Schoolcraft was given credit for discovering the source, but truly, did he discover it when an Indian led him here? No, he did not. He's the first man to write about it. Glacier came and plagiarized his journal. He wanted notoriety. Brouwer reconfirmed that all these creeks, lakes, and streams flow into Itasca, but only here, where I'm now going to be departing you guys, is the headwaters the true beginning, because year-round, the surface flow and volume is large enough to constitute a river. Because when Brouwer was here, every creek, other than this one, had dried up, and he could walk through the creek beds and not get his shoes wet. Truly, could the beginning of a river dry up at some point? No. But because of spring water, this spot always is flowing. The only difference is that rock formation the CCC boys had put in the 1930s. It took them from 1933 to 1941 to restore the river. So what you see today is exactly, if you pulled up Schoolcraft's journal and walked this river channel, it matches to a T Schoolcraft's journal, other than those rocks. And so it's because of all these different people who have come and shaped it and changed it. We know that it's been changed because of logging, but it has been restored. We know the earth can be resilient to a degree if we give it the opportunity and the chance. And it is nice to have places like Itasca and all of our other state parks and national parks to preserve parts of that. Because we know our environment's changing. We know that environmental changes are happening because of climate. It's just now we're speeding it up. That's the unknown. We've never had that before, where we're moving it so quickly. What's going to happen? We don't even know. We are mandated to grow red and white pine. Will we be able to follow that mandate? We don't know. We don't know. We don't know where things are going to go. Deer herds go up because of the warmer conditions. They eat our young pine. We have to put cages around them. We have to put bug caps on them. We have to use a hunt to manage them. And we're still having a hard time growing trees. We don't know what's going to happen. But, you know, that's, I guess, the amazing thing about life is this earth is resilient. It just might do a little better with not us tampering with it so much. But I want you guys to go explore. You found some beautiful spots. You've got some cool stories of people in the past. So if you want to do some artwork or some exploring, and for you, as you are paddling down the river, you've got a lot of other people who've gone down this river ahead of you that you are just one of many who get to follow in the trip that very few people experience. And you're really going to enjoy it, because this first section to Bemidji is pretty isolated. And you really are going to get a feel for Schoolcraft, like seeing it for the first time. Because that's the amazing thing about this first 80 miles, is it is a lot like what it had been. So have fun on your trip. You guys are all going to be envious, and I know you'll be contacting him and wanting to do it here in the future, and he probably would be your trusty guide for a certain fee. For the right fee.
For the right fee.
For the right fee.
How many beaver pelts is that going to cost?
Yeah, the new tree. Yeah, I think more Hudson Bay blankets. Those things are expensive. If you go into a gift shop, it's like $300-$400. Yeah. So, yeah. A couple of good Hudson Bay blankets, and you could sell them on eBay. Make double the money.
Yes.
Otherwise, everybody, I hope you have a wonderful time to find your way back to the boat access. Follow this footway back. When we came down by a little stone building, don't turn back up that way. That's a long way. Just stay on this gravel path with the lake always in your view on your this side, on your right side. You'll be looking west, and it'll bring you right over to the boat access, which is right over through the trees. And all that grass you see, that is all wild rice that's out there. We don't allow harvesting. We leave it for wildlife. It's important habitat for aquatic animals living in the water, as well as waterfowl that are migrating. So no, we don't harvest, but enjoy your time. Enjoy your stay. Sorry I went over, but hey,
well
it's
done,
a long
Connie.
Walk.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well,
thank
thanks, Connie.
Very much.
Have a great day. Yeah. And I hope you can come back just for fun. It sounds kind of like work for you guys. In the winter. Come in the winter.
Thank you so much. This is fantastic.
Do need to come in the winter like Zebulon Pike.
Can I touch the beaver?
You go right ahead. You go right ahead.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really funny. They clean it out every morning at this time of year. Thank you so much. Every morning now we have to clean the headwaters because the beaver pull up all the wild rice and they're trying to dam it up. Like Itasca's gonna empty out.
Right. Well, they're stopping those beavers for you.
And if you go on, we have a live webcam. So you guys from Germany, quick call your family and say get on the Itasca webcam and they can see you live. From the headwaters of the Ross.
And, I posted it to the field notes. It's on the field notes.
Yeah. And then they can check you out. But if you look towards dusk, you'll
see
the beaver as they're
I was just telling everybody else.
So you can watch it on camera. Yeah, isn't that cool?
It's incredible, you can understand why it creates so much desire.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And the coolest thing about a beaver is this is our largest rodent in this part of North America.
Yeah.
So, it's like related to the house mouse. But what's so cool is the adaptations this animal has just to live in water. Mm-hmm. Its back claw and its back feet, one of the toenails is split like a comb, and it has an oil gland under its tail, and it will rub some of the oil and then comb it through to waterproof its hide. He has a nictitating membrane on his eye, so it's like a clear eyelid, so he can swim and not get debris in his eyes. They have a flap in the back of their throat that can close, that's not even the real book. That's just a makeup book.
I'm just curious.
But if you actually flip to this, we didn't do it. I'm sorry, I thought this one, I think somebody lost it, but we actually
had. This is the autobiography of some
gentleman. Yeah, we actually had a copy of I actually have copies of Glazer's books in my library. I just can't bring them out because of the originals.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to have it outside.
But yeah, Glazer was so funny. He served in the Civil War, and I actually met some of his descendants in 1998.